Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Ourselves to ourselves. And again, I hope this encourages you tonight. Again, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. And if you're able physically, let's stand tonight out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travel and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me and you have placed your hand on me. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. I'm going to go ahead on in verse 7. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Father, thank you tonight, Lord, again, for this privilege and opportunity we have to worship. God, as your word is read, Lord, I pray that it would pierce our hearts, encourage us, challenge us, comfort us, whatever it is, Lord, is the promise of your word, not to return void, Lord, but accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. Father, hide me behind the cross and let your spirit speak as only you can. May alone you be glorified, lifted up and honored, and we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 1 and 2 again. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You know, a little bit of the things we've been talking about with the youth in Sunday school class. There's a beetle, and I wish I'd have written down the type of beetle it is, but we've been talking about the incredible immensity of, last week we dealt with kind of in the human body and the cells, the white cells, the red cells, and all of these different things. We only scratched the surface of it, and it's amazing the trillions of cells in the human body. But today we were dealing with some of the amazing creative genius in nature. And I don't know if you know much about it, there is a beetle that is able to secrete a 212-degree sputum at something that tries to hurt it. 212. Anybody know what 212 is? Boiling. Anybody ever heard of that beetle? Thank you, Andrew. The bombardier beetle. Brooke, did you just give him a crash course on it? The bombardier beetle, Andrew knows it though, he probably already studied it. 212 degrees, it comes out of its mouth. Is that not wild? The creative genius of God is just beyond. We're just talking about one beetle. We talked about this bird in Australia, and this little fella makes this mound of dirt, or I'm sorry, of leaves, rotting leaves. And then he puts sand on top of it, and then the rocks. And after it builds this mound, some of them are upwards of 4 feet high, and in time does a hole in it, and the female comes, lays an egg, covers it up, then a few days later makes another one. Lays up to, I think, approximately 18 eggs in this thing. And it puts this beak in this thing every single day, and if it is off by 0.1 degree... if it is too cold, it adds more sand so that the decaying leaves, the heat is held in better and brings it up to the proper temperature. And if it gets too warm, it removes sand from the outside and lets the heat come out so it gets it within 0.1 degree. It fixes the variations. It is more precise than any thermometer is. Lord, you have searched me and known me. Now let's start talking about the perfection of God. I wonder what he knows about us. Oh, wow. Oh, he knows when I sit down and I stand up. I believe that's the least of our worries. Amen? You understand my thoughts from afar. Oh, me. Right? Because again, he knows us better than ourselves. And first thing I want to share with you tonight is just that he knows. He knows it all. He knows everything. Matter of fact, he knows everything and doesn't even have to think about knowing everything to know it. He doesn't even have to have a conscious thought of wondering what we're doing. He knows it. And I always am humored when I read the creation narrative as Adam has so decided with his dear wife to abdicate their role of obedience to the Lord, having partaken of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then they're in this desperate attempt to hide this nakedness that they didn't know that they had in the first place. I am humored when I read what happens when God shows up. Oh, where are you? Right? What have you been up to? Do you think God was asking for knowledge that he didn't have? No. But it humors me when I read it. Because it says, in a sense, God's going, well, I'd play dumb. See what I can get out of them. This woman, look, why'd you have to bring her? Everything was fine until you brought her. And that's what he does, in essence. But see, God knows. He knows our ins, he knows our outs, he knows our ups, our downs. And that's why I think it's important to be honest with God, as I said this morning in the message. I think it's not stated enough that the honesty with which we should have with God, because he is the only one that can get us out of the mess that we're in psychologically, mentally. You know, there's a lot of people that struggle with depression or anxiety or fear or all these things. And, you know, Aaron and I, we're just too much alike, almost like we're two brothers that were born in the, you know, from different brothers from other mothers. Because, you know, I don't know much about what it's like to, now I've been down a couple days in my life. I have. There's been a few days in my life that I've been down. I won't lie and say I haven't, but I don't know what it's like to have what my mother's mother had. My mother's mother had crippling depression. The first time that it got so terrible, they did that shock therapy. They put a big piece of rubber in your mouth. And listen, they throw the juice to you big time. They basically reboot your brain. And it got her good, and I don't know how many years it's been now. Those of you who are here remember that 4th of July, the day that she died. She had gone in to have that done that day again, and it ended up causing her to have a massive stroke. Thank the Lord she died. God took her home. But I'll tell you, my grandmother is one of the most godly women. She loved Jesus big time. She was passionate about the Lord. Her Bible was always open. She was always in it. She ministered in cooking. You could not walk in my grandmother's house. She'd give you food. It didn't matter who you were. She was a minister. That's what her whole ministry was the kitchen and home. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, my Mama King's what I called her, knew Jesus. And if Mama King didn't know Christ, then everybody's doomed. Because she was such a reflection and exemplification of a follower of Jesus Christ. But in this depression, Mama King battled whether she was a follower of Christ or not. It was a tormenting spirit of what origin, I don't know, and I wasn't aware of it at those times of my life to even have been able to pinpoint that because I was young. But that's the enemy, though, because see, what he does is he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does nothing more than to try to sow seeds of doubt, seeds of confusion, to make us ineffective. My grandmother was very effective spiritually. She shared Christ with so many people. It is astounding in my lifetime. I remember she had an especially big heart for Jewish people in Florida where we lived in Miami. They lived there until we moved to Charlotte, but I remember my grandmother would always have someone that she was sharing Christ with. She led a number of Jewish people to Christ who then became Messianic Jewish. They ended up finding faith in Jesus, placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But you see these people, you see these struggles and see these battles, and you go, you know, I don't understand how somebody who's a believer can struggle like that. Well, I'll tell you what, all you have to do is open a hymnal up and you can read the names and read incredible stories in the hymns that they wrote of people who were extremely godly, who battled extremely deep periods of depression. Somebody will say, you know, I've heard of pastors that'll say, you know what, I don't believe in anybody taking anything for depression. I think that, you know, they're always spiritually rooted and there's no reason in the world that anybody, you just need to trust the Lord. I want to tell you right now, then take that thought process and take that somewhere. Because we're in a fallen world. I will tell you that. I want to tell you, would you consider me any less of a person because I am on a medicine for attention deficit disorder that I take every morning about 2:15 or 2:20 in the morning? And one day last week, I was studying for a big test, and I was up, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm working. I had studied from about 1:30-ish until about 3 or 4, and it was like a brick wall. Nothing stuck. I was like, man, I've literally, something's happened. My brain has stopped working. Then what did I realize? The medicine that enables my brain to focus and concentrate because of the condition I have, the attention deficit disorder, the way my brain is and it's wired, I had not taken. I took my medicine, it's called Concerta, and guess what? Within about 20 minutes, I am reading, and then 30 to 45 minutes later, I knew every single thing that I needed to know word for word. But see, I could say, you know, get in that mindset of, oh no, there's no reason in the world that people should ever take something like that because you just need to trust the Lord. Well, I would, hey, you take me to the garden pre-fall, I'm on board with you all the way. I'm there. I'm your number one fan, but we're not there. Matter of fact, if you have that line of thinking and you get diagnosed with cancer, I want you to live out what you're talking. Because listen, it's only a matter of the mind, isn't it? There is no reason to go to an oncologist because God is bigger than a diagnosis from a doctor. But see, people don't think of it in that context. I'll tell you what, the next time that you get a URI, a respiratory infection, don't go to the doctor when you've got a major respiratory. There's no reason to, because all you've got to do is you've got to will and in faith know that you have the ability to get victory over that. Next time you get a bladder infection, there is no reason in the world that you should go to a urologist or even your regular doctor and get medicine with which would be able to kill the bacteria that has taken a hold of your bladder. There's no reason to do that because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's desire for you is wellness, and you are going to will that in your faith to become a reality, right? That's the same thing that I say to someone who will say, I don't think anybody who's battled any clinical depression, who has searched the root of any spiritual issue that it could be, come to the conclusion that there's nothing spiritual that is the root of this, and I've come to find out that the doctor has seen that there is a chemical imbalance in my body. You know that I know people who have hormonal issues that have gotten on a hormone that has straightened out depression or personality issues that were chemically related in the body. You know that? I know this because I know them personally, people who have had this. I have myself encouraged people that have gone and sought treatment and been delivered because there were hormonal imbalances that caused them to act in ways that they never would have otherwise. See, God knows that we're in a fallen world. And I believe that if God did not have any intention for medicine to be a part of what he has given, then I believe that there'd be a disciple missing. Starts with an L. Anybody know the name? Luke. What was Luke? A physician. He was a physician. A lot of people don't know that. Luke was a physician. See, God has gifted us with medical advancements. Now, do I think the first thing that you should do when you can't study for a test and do well is to run to the doctor and say, listen, I need something for attention? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, they don't hand that stuff out today like they used to. They actually have a test that you have to take, and there's things that they want to determine, because they can determine whether you're battling with something like attention deficit disorder. There's more medicine that I could take that he's wanted me to. I won't take it. I take the basic thing to be able to get my mind to focus enough so that I'm not off in outer space thinking about blue unicorns right now while I'm preaching. Amen? And I still battle blue unicorns because they run across the screen every once in a while of my mind. Yeah, don't let a squirrel loose in here. It's over. Right? But the thing that we've got to always keep in mind is God knows. God knows all of this right there. God is the God that is ever present. He's all knowing. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. All science. I know that there's incredible things like Napalia, the cactus juice that I drink. It's gotten me off of hydrochlorothiazide, which is that water pill. I don't have pitting edema on my legs anymore when I go home at night on Sundays. I used to go and I could put my finger in my leg about that far. Don't have that anymore, because that cactus juice pulls that fluid off and allows my body to get rid of it. It's a wonderful thing, and I think there's a lot of, we have a resident herbal medicine man in our congregation back there, so make sure you utilize him, because he knows a lot about that stuff. But there's a lot of things that God's given us in nature in this county alone that can really help with a lot of things. But ultimately, we do realize that, you know, if you get cancer of the thyroid, you better seek some physician. You better seek some help. There's a man by the name of Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs stopped breathing. You know why he stopped breathing? Because he tried some Buddhist feng shui and a bunch of other craziness when he was in the very early stages of cancer. He thought he would will himself into positivity and this diet was going to eradicate this cancer that he had. Sadly, by the time he realized that it was too late, nothing could be done. And Steve Jobs died. I know Christians. I know a man right now that was a pastor of a church in Miami, Florida. It would have been in 1978 or 9. His name was Pastor Humphreys. I really liked him. He was a neat fellow. He was hardcore. He's an independent Baptist. Mr. Humphreys was the epitome of a 70s and early 80s independent Baptist pastor. He wore the gray suit. He had those horn-rimmed glasses. He had one of those flat tops, and he scared me. The man scared me. I liked him today. I loved him to death, but he scared me. He'd come over to my grandfather's and eat butter pecan ice cream every Tuesday night for visitation. I think he only went to my grandfather's house for visitation, and they ate butter pecan ice cream in big bowls. Well, if you remember, in about 1981, there was a scourge that was introduced to our country that we came to know that people started dying from something. It was very prevalent in South Florida. It was a thing we know now of called AIDS. Mr. Humphreys was diagnosed with an aneurysm, one that was completely able to be operated on. Mr. Humphreys wouldn't have the operation. He wouldn't have the operation because in order to do the operation, it was going to require a large amount of blood. Mr. Humphreys did not want the stigma associated with accidentally being infected by this new virus called AIDS and people thinking that he'd been involved in homosexual activity, because that's what back then they associated AIDS only with people who lived as homosexuals. Mr. Humphreys died. That aneurysm ruptured, and in a matter of minutes, he was dead. Most of you know Jehovah's Witnesses won't take blood transfusions. They believe the soul's in the blood. A lot of court proceedings have happened for children who needed blood transfusions to live, and thank the Lord they can do that against the parents' will. and keep children alive. But this has happened. This is real stuff. See, God has allowed medical advancements. And in his divine providence, God has gifted us with the knowledge and ability that in so many things, because of the sin-stained world that we live in, to, in a sense, right some of these things in God's design and his providence, allowing these things in many cases to be righted. You think right now, if it were not for the thing we know as penicillin, amoxicillin, so many others. You know how many people right now, I was talking to someone yesterday, and I said, you know, they said 1 in 500 have died during this COVID thing. Now, whether it was from the actual COVID or whether it was the comorbidities or a combination of, let me just tell you, without the COVID, there would be a lot of people that did not die at the time they did, right? Meaning, yes, God allowed this to happen, the effects of sin. Long story short, I said, now imagine if this was 100 years ago, I believe this would have given the Spanish flu a run for its money. Because back then they didn't have what we have. They didn't have the oxygen. They didn't have the ventilators. Of course, that right there is a death sentence if you ask me. But they didn't have the things that were able to push, the positive pressure that were able to push that high-grade oxygen down into your lungs, and these incredible sterile environments with which people are able to be treated. I believe that there would have been a whole lot more people that died during this sickness. See, look what God's done. God has gifted for us this time in history, medical advancements that have done wonders. Think about your blood pressure medicines. Think about these metformin for your blood sugar. Think about these things that are able to lower the bad cholesterol numbers in people who have hyperlipidemia, very high cholesterol numbers. Think about all the medical advancements that God has given us. Think about the surgeries that have fixed knees and have fixed hips in people that otherwise would have potentially been invalids. See, God knows. In the second part, in verse 3 and 4, you observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. Second thing I want to share with you tonight is that he hears. He hears it before we say it. He hears it when it's a thought in our mind. Hence my statement, does it matter 50 years from now? Let's just not allow him to hear it verbally. Let's let it stop with a thought. Let's not say that to your wife. Let's not say that to your husband. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? That's the question. Does it really matter? I'll tell you, the older I get, the more my answer is no. When I go in tomorrow morning, not kidding, I'll be walking about that high off the ground when I go into school. I'm serious. I'm so excited. I walk up by our financial lady. Her name is Ms. Boatman. Once lost her. Good morning. I'm on about 9 on a 5-point scale. I go by the lady who cleans. She's got a big old face mask thing on. Good morning. And I just wander. Walk right into class. A bunch of them in there studying. You know, they're all in there. Good morning. And then I call them each by name. Good morning, son. Good morning. Why? Because I'm just thankful for the day. I'm thankful for the gift of life. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for the people. I'm thankful for everything. So I get up yesterday and I had a couple of things I had to do. One was the fan down in the basement that blows out and keeps the basement, you know, the humid air under there. It had gone out and I knew it because I woke up stopped up. When I wake up stopped up, I know that the fan's not working down there. I know it's weird, but yes, I know. I'm highly allergic to mold. So I got up yesterday, and I'd already had a fan that's been in my trunk for 2 months, so it needed to go in there. So I got up, and I go down there, and remember now, I got things to do, so I've got a kind of a timeline of things that I need to get done. Been up since 1 o'clock. I'm tired. It's time, right? You know, it's time to get that done and try to rest a little bit. So I get down there, and I'm working on that fan, and I just said, you know, I'll do a cursory examination to see if there's any other things that could be potential disasters in the making. And I just happened to look at, and I looked, and I went, ooh, there's water. Water's never good when you see water on plywood. And remember, I built that new shower, and I immediately say, no, 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 my shower doesn't leak. There is no way. No, I did this too long. My shower, the bathtub, oh no, you can feel it. There's no way it could leak. So I'm sitting there going, is it really possible that I could have done a shower the way I did with a four-step ceiling? In other words, it has four layers. It can't, the Titanic can sink, yes, but my shower can't leak. Well, it wasn't my shower. It was one of the PVC fittings that had a small crack in it. So every time we turned on the wand, wash Alexander off when I give him a bath, right? Water was running behind the wall, going under my flooring, and had gone about 15 feet. Thank the Lord. Was able to get the part yesterday. Had to drive to Pulaski to Home Depot because I don't go here anymore. It's futile if you need a plumbing part. Let me save you a bunch of time. Get in the car and go to Murfreesboro Home Depot or the Home Depot in Pulaski. Thank you, Home Depot. Get your free advertisement. I'm sorry, but Shelbyville's just lost when it comes to true plumbing parts that actually will help what you need. They have a boutique in town at Lowe's. It is for nobody who's serious about doing plumbing. So thank the Lord I was able to go over there. I was able to get the part I need, came home. I got it done. It lengthened my day. It added a lot more to it. But you know what? I was thankful, and I said, you know, it could have been much worse. I had actually gone through the mental reality that we're getting ready to have to shut this shower down until next year when I can actually tear it apart and fix if my shower's leaking. I had to somewhere come to the conclusion that it would be a potential, even though it's not. It could be, but it wasn't. You just take it because, see, we have a God. He hears. He knows what's going on. I could have gone and got all bent out of shape and started spewing profanities across the halls of the home. No, it's not an option. Now, did I get focused? Oh, yes. Am I going to be busy about getting it? Absolutely. I don't have time to play games because the time's limited. And see, but God knows. I thought about it of all the times that this needs to happen. Not now. This is not the time for things should be breaking when you don't need everything else, right? You need to happen when things are free. Things aren't supposed to break when you're busy. Amen? Yeah. Whew. Do I know it well? But see, God knows our travels. He knows our rest. He's aware of all of our ways. Before our words on our tongue, he knows about it. So listen, when you're under stress like that, what comes out of your mouth is coming out of your heart. Thankfully, yesterday, I just took it and said, you know what? And as I was on the way to Pulaski, there's a cemetery on the right, about 5 miles before you get to Pulaski. And I looked over there, and there's cars all in the cemetery. They were having somebody's funeral. And they had another tent set up for another person's funeral. And in my mind, I said, you know what? If the worst thing about my day is that I had to drive over to Pulaski and I had to get a plumbing part, the best part of that drive was I got a deep dish Pizza Hut pizza that I didn't tell the family about. I had to eat. It's only $11. See, there's a silver lining and everything. No. But I realized that there's so much more that could go wrong. And there's so many more things in life that could have been, I could have been there with one of my family members ready for their funeral yesterday. These things don't matter. God knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows our passions. But I think also it needs to be a reminder for us. Does it really matter? You really think it's that bad? Well, I'll tell you what, let's trade whatever ill you have right now for a dead loved one. You want to think that things can't get worse? The girl sits in front of me in class, and I don't remember how it came up this week, but she lost her 2-year-old child. She found her child suffocated, and she had to do CPR on it. And as she was telling me, I just sat and I was like, I just can't even fathom what she's telling me. And it's one of those things that God uses to just remind you, you think you have things bad? You think, can you imagine doing CPR on your child? I listened to her, I could hear the hurt in her voice and the anguish in there like it happened yesterday. My heart broke for her, even though it was 2013 when this happened, 8 years ago. Thank the Lord, after that happened, she had her parents drop her off at her church. She went in there and just got up front, said she just cried. See, God knows. He knows our hurts. He knows our ways. And then verse 5 and 6, and we'll be done. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty and I am unable to reach it. And the final thing I want to share with you tonight is that he protects. Same way that my parents found my sister Martha dead in bed at 2 weeks old in Peru as they were missionaries. Same God that had led them to the mission field, sustained them at an hour of grief that was incomprehensible to them. He protected them. When no one could be with them, no family members, in that culture, you have 24 hours to put your child in the ground. And in 24 hours, they buried Martha. No family, no friends. All there was my brother Dan, and they were all alone. See, there's nowhere we can go that we're alone, because we cannot flee from God's presence. And that's what I love in the promise of God's word in Psalm 23. Every bit of it. Literally, I start from the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd, what I shall not want, the promise. God, your shepherd, it's the picture of the good shepherd. And what is the promise? I shall not want. He, God, makes us lie down in green pastures. Meaning, he puts us in a place where we can rest, because with sheep, they don't rest if they're at a place where there's no food. So the shepherd brings them to a place that is lush and green so that they lay down without a fear that there'll be nothing to eat. He lays them down in green pastures, showing the love of the shepherd for his sheep. He leads them beside what? Still waters. Again, sheep are fearful creatures, scared of everything. They're weak-willed. So a loving shepherd leads them beside still waters, because still waters give them a calm and a peace. That same shepherd restores their soul, guides them in the paths of righteousness. He guiding them in the paths of righteousness for what? His name's sake. Then one of my favorite, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The promise, for thou art with me. thy rod and thy staff. What is the rod? The rod, in many cases, is used for protection. No, protection from what? Protection from ourselves, as the shepherd sometimes has to correct us. Also, the shepherd's crook, when you go where you're not supposed to and go off a ledge, is able to reach around even your neck and pull you up to safety. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What does that mean? He fights for us. There is peace in the midst of ones seeking our life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know about you, but if that doesn't give you comfort, I have no hope for you, because there is no other hope. Amen? To me, that's all we need. The complete, all-consuming reminding, the reminder of our shepherd, the love of the shepherd, the provisional protection, the provisional needs, every single aspect of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the Father. One incredible. Tonight he knows, he hears, most importantly, he protects. We're in uncharted waters as a nation and as people. We're in uncharted waters as church. We're in uncharted waters in terms of where our culture's going in the numbers of followers of Jesus Christ, and what those numbers represent in the fact of, are people going to continue to want to go to church? The whole definition of church, the whole definition of the time frame of when you go to church, is changing consistently and constantly. And the thing going forward that you question is, what, God, what is certain? I will give you the certainty tonight. Everything is uncertain. I don't know what the church looks like in 10 years. I'll tell you, I don't. That puts me a whole lot older than I am now. I don't even want to say it. Scary, thinking that I showed up at Longview as a 33-year-old kid. My Bob Carlyle song, Butterfly Kisses, said, like the wind, the years go by. But see, we still have the promise, shepherd, promise of his provision, the promise that everything that I'm doing in, for, and of him is consequential. It has purpose and meaning. Where are you in that tonight? Does your life have consequential meaning and purpose? Qualify the things, the thoughts, the intentions, the actions with, will this matter 50 years from now? Because if you look at my age, there is no 50 years from now for me. I'll just tell you, there's no 100. This man will not live to be 100. There's no 50 years. I don't know when, you don't know when, but let's just say, will it matter 20 years from now? But then, more importantly, will it matter 30 minutes from now? If your answer is, you know what, it's not worth it, it doesn't matter, don't say it. Don't say it. You know something's going to hurt someone or has the potential to, don't say it. Doesn't matter. If it's going to cause division, are you literally so focused on yourself that you'll say something knowing that you're going to hurt someone because it's a hill that you really believe is worth defending? Will it matter 10 minutes from now? But even most importantly, will you honor God in saying or thinking what you're thinking or saying? Because in one momentary instant, things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace as we enter His presence. And I pray that we'll begin to greater focus our heart, our affections, our desires, our passions on His. Greater fuse our hearts, our passions, our desires as we begin to form our mind around what we're doing as we're preparing for home. Not home. Home. Are you longing for home with a passion to finish the work before you go? And that's where we should be. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.